favorite scary movie. Have you checked the children?
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
I'm sorry, I was in the process of sitting down, you know?
I'd already initiated sit-down procedures, so it's just, I'm sorry, it's not going to work out. Sorry.
Oh, that's hilarious.
One of the things that, like, I keep wanting to, like, also point out about The Descent 2 and the first Descent, the artistic, like, decisions behind the posters are night and fucking day.
Yeah.
Like, the first one is so cool and so, like, aesthetically pleasing and cool to look at, and then the second one just looks like a fucking, like, intern from high school threw it together, and or like some edgy, like, you know,
that's some Photoshop, like, what, like, no, dude, I'm on my third class, this is an intermediate level, I think I can handle the Descent 2 poster,
I can fucking handle it, like, no, it looks like shit.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, the whole aesthetics are fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, the whole, it's a lot.
You want to get started?
Yeah, I think that's a great segue to tie it in.
Whatever, let's go.
Let's get started with this apparent
whatever, let's go is
shit
how I
show.
Think, yeah, that's how I think the production of the movie went. Or just the idea itself.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. We'll see. But welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible Peoples Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. As always, I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Anthony Fuentes.
Whatever, let's go.
And today, to continue with our sequel, September, we are talking about The Descent Part 2 from 2009, and then the alternate title, Justice for Juno 2019.
Justice for Juno 2K19.
Yeah.
I guess.
I was so angry. I that was the one thing that just angered me.
The spoiler alert, if you haven't watched this movie, whatever, don't pause it. Just, it's spoiler.
Juno's alive.
Juno's alive, and she's, this is like days afterwards, and she's like using her leg properly. it's weird. It's a funny, you know what? What am I thinking? Just spoiler alert. This is on all the media. It's like Juno's still there. It's like, oh shit. So yeah, Justice for Juno 2K19. Well, this movie came out in 2009.
It's a 10-year-old movie.
Damn. 2K9?
Yeah, 2K9.
It's 10 years old? What the fuck?
Yeah, it's a 10-year-old movie. It, yikes.
Yeah.
Big yikes. And there was a lot to unpack with this one,
And a disclaimer, as soon as I walked in the door, Alex said I was too hard on this movie. So we're going to get into
that. Yeah, I think we're going to have some discussions. Because when I was watching it, and I don't know if it was just because, like, I needed some chaos in my life right now because my life is already not chaotic enough. By the time that this episode has come out,
hopefully things will have been fixed.
But no, I think I was just watching it and I was just like, this is stupid. This is so like, it's stupid, but like, I thought it was like, I don't know. Yeah, I thought it was going to be worse. I truly thought it was going to be worse.
Because
you set the bar so low.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost at so bad it's good territory just because, like, you're like, I can't believe they went, did they really go there? Did they really go there? Did they do, did, like, really?
But did they really have them jump into the huge toilet? Really?
Yeah. We can't see anything. Why is everything so well lit? I don't.
Yeah, that was also, I was just like, because I think, oh no, that never mind. I'm thinking of something else. But no, yeah, like, there were points where I was like, wow, this is remarkably well lit.
Yeah, and then he's just like, I'm gonna handcuff your hand to my oh my god.
That guy
was a piece of shit.
He was, like, I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Way to make every American look awful.
Oh my god, dude, like, every, like, the first Descent had, like, good characters, and, like, it was super well shot, and it had, like, a very personal tale, and this one's like, what if we remove all of that? What if we took everything about that?
What if we took everything that made the original special and just, like, fucked it up?
And, like, monsters in caves. That's what you guys want, right? Monsters in caves? And
they changed the monster design. We'll get into
it. Oh my god. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Let's go. Let's keep going. IMDb synopsis. Fuck it. I'll do it. Refusing to believe her story about cave-dwelling monsters, the sole survivor of a spelunking exploration gone horribly wrong is forced to follow the authorities back into the caves where something awaits.
This is a horrible this is like a horrible plot.
Yeah.
Like, first, like, in no reality would this they ever actually do this.
That, I honestly, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, this is against procedure.
like this isn't even like, I know the British do things differently, but I don't think they do things this differently.
No, like, I don't think so at all. This is like, okay, you're gonna get written up. You can get sued. Like, this is all wrong.
This is all so wrong. But anyway.
All right, cool. And this is starring Shauna McDonald as Sarah Carter, Natalie Mendoza, still hot, as Juno. I gotta remember that one. Douglas Hodge as Dan. Is Dan the piece of shit?
He was one of, I mean, all honestly, all the men in the cave were kind of like...
Is he the gray-haired older piece of shit?
No, that's Vaines.
Okay, cool.
The sheriff guy?
Yeah, sheriff the Vaines. Oh, I see. Yeah. Kristen Cummings as Rios?
Yes.
She was interesting, at least.
I liked her character.
I liked her, yeah. She was all right. Gavin O'Herlihy as Vaines?
Yeah. Oh, Irish.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah, okay. Damn, these names mean nothing to me right now. Josh Dallas as Greg.
Josh Dallas was in Once Upon a Time.
Wait, what's one? Oh, the fairy tale one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Way to go, Josh. This is before Once Upon a Time or around the same time?
I think this is actually, this was right before.
Right before, okay.
This was right before, if my memory is serving me correctly.
I'm glad Josh Dallas's career came out of this unscathed. I really am. And Anna Skellern as Kath, who is probably one of the more useless characters also.
Holy shit. She was useless.
She
was a particular brand of useless where like everyone was just like, you need to be quiet. And then she was the one who was running around screaming. And I'm like, girl.
Everybody, hey, Kath, you need to do this to survive. What? The opposite? Okay.
Yeah. Like,
for the whole movie.
And then like bitches be sacrificing themselves left and right so that like Kath can survive. And she does. And then she still gets like fucking murked.
Like immediately afterwards.
Immediately after.
We're doing all these things for you, Kath. Well, I'm super grateful. I'm going to just do another stupid thing again. Yay!
And then just get, like, ripped to shreds.
Oh, nasty, too.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Okay, yeah, this is directed by John Harris, so I don't know if he's done anything else.
So this was his first and only directorial credit.
Okay.
He also was the editor for the previous film.
He was the editor?
Yes.
He picked the editor, okay.
Yeah, and we'll go into it in the production.
This is produced by Christian Coulson and Ivana McKinnon. Screenplay... three people wrote this?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Okay, screenplay by James McCarthy, Jay Blakeson, and James Watkins. These are drunk college buddies. They have to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was that, and then also Neil Marshall, who was an executive producer.
Oh, dude, he must have been like, yeah, I'll take the money.
Yeah.
I'll take the money. This was released on August 24, 2009 at the Fantasy Film Fest. In December 2nd, 2009 in the UK, and then direct TV DVD on April 27, 2010 in the United States of America. Budget was $6.2 million, and its box office was $6.7 million.
Barely scraped past there.
And that doesn't include the DVD sales,
no.
Right? That's just box office.
No, that is just box office.
They definitely cut their losses after that one. They were like, okay, just put it.
But it bounced back in the DVD sales in America.
Okay.
And we'll get into it.
All right, cool. Now, are y'all ready to fucking learn some shit?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go. All right, let's do this right now. Fuck.
It's a traditional Alex episode.
Okay, yes. Yes, you guys are going to have production, a lot of good stuff, and a little baby play-by-play that we're going to do. And you're going to want us to hear this play-by-play because it is fucking ridiculous.
I'm so excited for Anthony's insight. Like, the reason why I didn't do a whole ton of research on, like, the production or anything like that, because first of all, there wasn't a lot. And then second of all, the whole time I was researching, I was just picturing Anthony... his text message was just like, just watch The Descent 2... what garbage or whatever. Like, just how much he didn't like it. And I was like, oh God. Okay.
I actually couldn't wait before this to do this one because we haven't done a bad movie in a long time.
No. Yeah. We have fantastic taste normally.
We do. We totally do. This is going to be fun. But let's learn about it for a little bit. So.
This was your idea, by the way.
I know.
The Descent 2 was your choice.
No, this is for Maria. Maria wanted us to do it, and she's like, yeah, because, you know, play-by-play, all the fun stuff. So, Maria, this is for you. Thank you for subjecting me to this experience. I'm glad I had it at least once.
I didn't hate it. Yeah, so, thanks, Maria.
We'll see how it all plays out. Due to the first film being a commercial and critical success, it was decided that a sequel would be produced. While Neil Marshall would not direct the film, he was assigned to oversee its production as an executive producer. He explained how, after the success of the first film, he wanted to replicate the feelings of claustrophobia and interpersonal anxiety without just retelling the story of the first film. Marshall received the first draft of the film in late July 2006, with no directors or cast in mind. He made it clear that he intended to incorporate more of the feeling of claustrophobia like that of a particular scene in the previous film. Marshall tells BloodyDisgusting.com, which is a good resource, about new ideas for the film. Quote, the monsters they can deal with and a bit of the claustrophobia they can deal with, but the combination is definitely something we wanted to incorporate into the sequel by putting the monster and the girls in a really tight spot, which I think they did really successfully in the first one. Anyways, John Harris was the editor of the first film. He returned as director and editor for The Descent Part 2, which also marked his directorial debut. After this, he returned to his formal job as editor, this movie being his sole directing credit, which, again, we learned right now, but it's nice to read out loud again because he should stick to editing.
I mean, the editing wasn't bad.
No, it definitely, like, is a movie. Yeah. That's funny.
At the end of this, I'm going to be like, Anthony, say three nice things about this movie.
Oh, I think I could. Okay, we have time. I can think about them as we go along. Editing may be part for one of them. Editing was serviceable. Okay, when The Descent was released in 2006 in the United States, Lionsgate, the distributor, edited out the last minute of the film, changing the ending. When DreadCentral.com asked Marshall which of the film's two endings the sequel would be picking up after. He said it would not be known until he approved a script. Filming began in May 2008 at Ealing Studios in London. Ealing Studios was featured on BBC London in June 2008, going behind the scenes of the filming of Part 2. Now, I actually was looking at YouTube videos of this immediately after watching the film. The making of, they had it all on YouTube, and I stopped when I just saw the director talk about it. Really? He's like, well, what I wanted to do was, and I'm like, you didn't do any of that. And I just pressed B and went back. In that broadcast, it was confirmed that Shauna McDonald would be returning to play her character Sarah, and that most of the other cast members would return, some in flashbacks and possible hallucinations.
Which would have been great!
Yeah, that would have been cool, actually. I could have dug that. The film was shot at Ealing Studios and used all three of the main stages at the studio. On top of that, some scenes were filmed on location in the Bourne Woods near Farnham in southwest Surrey, England. I love English local names. They're so cool.
I like how you're like Farnham when like really it's probably like, I don't know. I'm not going to say it with a British accent.
Farnham. Oh my gosh. No, yeah. British names are awesome.
Farnham. It's probably like Farnham. Farnham. Yeah. It's
fucking Cockney ass place. Yeah. Farnham.
Yeah. It's probably like Farnham.
That's
or something.
A bloke from Farnham. Because
it's in Surrey.
Surrey.
South.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay.
I think.
In comparison to the original, Part 2 consisted of making 30 caves for the film, while the first film only had 18 practical cave sets made. Ooh, they thought they were going to make a good movie.
Wow! I
stopped being so negative. It's okay.
You're so negative.
I'm coming back. Originally, most of the other original cast members, besides Sarah from the first film, were set to return for this movie. Some in flashbacks, dreams, possible hallucinations. In the end, executive producer Neil Marshall suggested to the director, John Harris, to go about bringing the original cast members to use through Holly's camera instead, which...
I think both would have been great,
yeah,
but whatever.
Yeah. The deputy Rio's character was originally supposed to be a clinical psychologist, but this was later changed. Damn, I would have liked that, actually.
I think that, but then also, how would they have gotten Rio's into the cave? Like, they'd be like, oh, let's bring her with us.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, I think, again, there's not a whole lot of consistency, so I guess I can, there's, like, I can let shit go.
Clinical psychologist, I'm trying to think how, well, I mean, okay, she has amnesia, so they need somebody there to,
in case she goes ape shit.
Yeah,
she does go ape shit.
Yeah. Okay, we don't know, we didn't make this movie. John Harris had the crawlers slightly redesigned for the sequel. Apart from darker skin tones with better camouflage ability, they look more feral with some more scars and have more deformities to suggest years of inbreeding. Additionally, they have several rows of teeth like a shark for ripping out flesh.
Dun dun dun. I do that a lot. I know. I'm curious about your thoughts on the care on the monster redesign.
You know what? I think if the film was shot better, I wouldn't have like cared all that much. Because you know, the first film, it's like it feels like all the lighting's very natural, and so the monsters are really obscured sometimes, but they just kind of come through. They're too
well lit.
They're too well lit. So when I'm looking at it, I'm just like, I know you're different, and now I know exactly how you're different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. But I mean, they still look okay. They look like monsters.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was something about the first one that was, like, truly, like, what made him so creepy. And, like, and I don't know if this is just, like, again, me just being nitpicky, because that's just who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But in the first one, they were very pale because they never saw the sun.
Yeah.
Because they never went outside. And I think that was an intentional choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what animals who live in caves their whole lives, they're translucent. They're white. Yeah. Like,
frickin' larvae and stuff from caves.
Yeah, or like salamanders and shit. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, I could see that decision. I don't know why they decided, like, let's make them dark. Because then it just becomes racist.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
They got, like, the one jacked, like, gang leader one.
Right, but then they become, like, orcs, you know? Yeah, like, they look kind of orc-like to me. And that was a little weird. And then
they are a little orc-like.
And it because, and I think that was kind of, because I loved the monster design in the first one. Loved it. And so for it to be changed, I was like, why fuck with a good thing?
They were more like monstery, you know? The first one, they're more like organic.
Well, no, because they seem more cave dwellery in the first one. Yeah. And this one, they seem more like monster.
Yeah, they're more.
And I think that's kind of what threw me off, because they, and I don't know if that's just because, my whole thing is like, why mess with a good thing?
That, and I also think the direction, again, another thing that comes with directing a film is you gotta help guide performances.
Yeah.
Neil Marshall obviously knew how to make, like, them kind of just act kind of feral and animalistic, but in a way that, like, they slunk around, you know? In this one, they're just way more monstery. It's, they don't quite feel as organic as the first one, even in their movements. They're just, like, when the buff guy comes, he's just, like, stepping into the scene and shit. And I'm like, no.
like a character. Yeah. Or like an actual, like, a movie villain.
Like a final boss in a video game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Anyways, last production thing. Production designer Simon Bowles took the script of this film.
Simon Cowell's evil twin.
Yeah, Simon Cowell's evil twin, who has diuretic issues like a motherfucker. He physically drew out a blueprint mapping of how all 30 caves would connect together and how the actors would proceed through them, because what do horror fans love, you know? Consistency. Yeah, right?
And what does this movie have? Consistency.
Yeah. They should just always, I don't even know. Okay, let us know how this film was received, because I'm actually really interested in how this turned out to its DVD thingy. Please.
Yeah. Okay, so this film was released in UK movie theaters on December 4th, 2009. The film did not reach its expectation in the UK, and it debuted at number 9, making the first week domestic gross about at $313,000. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah. Total gross in the UK stands at about 674,000 pounds, which is about 828,000 US dollars.
I can imagine the meeting after the first weekend, like, it's going to turn around. It's going to turn around. 300, that's fine. Yeah. And they barely go over double that.
Yeah. In France, the film was actually proven more successful by reaching a number 5 and grossing a little over $1 million US dollars in its opening weekend.
Huh.
The total gross in France now stands at just under $2.5 million. In total, the film earned roughly 25% of its earnings of the first film while in theaters.
Damn, those Frenchies must love caves.
Yeah. Or I think when it, like, I'm trying to think, is Shonda McDonald? Because also, I'm pretty sure she had an accent shift.
Oh, that makes sense, actually. I think so. You're right.
Do you remember?
Because she did not sound the same.
She didn't, right?
No,
okay. Because
no.
I wasn't sure if I was completely crazy or just a little crazy about
no,
it.
No, there might have been a slight, yeah, slight little
so
difference.
So I don't know
there.
If Shonda McDonald is French.
Possible.
Or, like, I don't know. I don't know.
A lot of, like, go Shonda.
Yeah, or I don't know, like, what the appeal was or if they were just, like, or, because I know the film did really well in the UK,
mm-hmm.
the first one, so maybe word just hadn't traveled to the French.
Yeah, right?
That it was like...
It's going to be just like the first one.
Nope. despite having a shitty time in theaters, the film performed remarkably well in DVD sales in the U.S., earning over $7 million from DVD sales.
Oh, wow. They actually did end up doubling that then.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. Way to yeah. go, Descent 2.
Yeah, exactly. During its first week of release, it sold 46,000 units with a gross of $982,000.
Hmm.
So, in general, the film was a flop amongst fans, but was critically received... but critically received mixed reviews, not great reviews. I don't know why I wrote great reviews.
You wanted them to be great.
I know. I didn't. mixed reviews. On Rotten Tomatoes, the film holds a rotten rating of 56% based off of 34 reviews.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tim Robbie of The Telegraph gave the film 3 stars out of 5, stating, though it stretches credulity. The last half an hour is a tense team scramble to get out and stay out. But the best movie in this above par shocker is digging right back into the claustrophobic emotional traumas which made part one so thrilling.
Okay.
Wow, Anthony is so...
No, it's just... I understand what they mean by, like, emotional traumas, but, like, to me it's, like, the difference between, like, an indie film and a soap opera.
Okay.
Like, in terms of, like, the actual emotional traumas between the people, which we'll get into.
I can kind of see that. Yeah. But Variety gave the film a mixed review, stating, treading closely in the steps of its predecessor in every sense, the sequel has less emotional nuance, shows more of the monsters, and opts this time for a less interesting co-ed cast instead of an all-femme crew used so effectively in the original. Nevertheless, as popcorn entertainment, it delivers and should satisfy fans on all platforms.
Hey, you know, Variety nailed it, I think. Because, I mean, it's a popcorn film. You can definitely,
it's
like,
a
pound a couple back and, like enjoy that shit.
No, that's kind of where I was kind of thinking going into it. Like, it's definitely a popcorn flick.
Yeah, it's you really got to turn that brain off, I think, for this one.
My brain was turned off when I watched
that's
it.
That's good, that's good.
Because I have other shit going on.
I didn't know anything going in, so I was like, cool, The Descent 2. I've seen the first one a lot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I just went in with that Descent 1, like, let's see what 2 is about.
No, I hadn't heard... I mean, again, I just have low expectations for everything.
That's... Yeah, we're on sequel month. You kind of gotta...
Although, I have relatively high expectations for 2, because I've heard really good things about 2.
About what?
Fuck. We can't say
it. We can bleep it out. Let's bleep it out. We're gonna bleep out next week's movie. Don't worry.
I totally just spoiled next week.
Which I also just watched recently. But you'll know all about it in 1 week,
beep.
Guys. Beep.
I'm a fucking idiot.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I think that's plot time. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah, are you ready? Let's kick us off with the first point,
okay.
Alex, please. Let's do play by play. Play by play, everybody.
Let's talk about the plot. This is what I've been waiting for, so I can get Anthony's like reactions.
Real time. Let's do it. Yeah.
So 2 days after the events of the first film, a traumatized and blood covered Sarah escapes the cave with no memory of the events. She is taken to a hospital where it is found that some of the blood on her belongs to Juno Kaplan. Well, I mean, let's talk about this beginning, this opening scene.
She was in a car at the end of the first one.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah, in the scene in the American ending when she, that has Juno's like the little ghost pop up in her face on the window.
Yeah. Well, I think
that's the first part that threw me off a little bit. I was like,
well, I think they addressed that because there was like an alternate ending and then there was the original ending that original showed ending, that it was like a hallucination.
True. But then she was fucking surrounded, so she went Rambo and then did the same ending but left and didn't find the car?
I don't know. But the point is, she she shows up in front of this poor man's car.
Yeah. Just kind of just slaps herself on the window.
I know. I don't know. I mean, she was just like, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Well, also, in the hospital, they do something that to me, marks the dumbness right off the bat. Any bad movie does this. Girls got amnesia.
Yeah.
Girls got fucking amnesia.
I feel like amnesia is not, like, common enough for the amount of times I've seen it used in movies.
Yeah, and, like, bad movies. Like, I remember being so, this is a totally not relevant, but kind of relevant example, but a use of amnesia in a film. When I was a kid, I really loved the movie Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi one. Like, I was like, fuck, this is like, Peter Parker's me, and it feels like it was such a personal story. And then 3 comes around. And I thought, like, okay, as it was progressing along, I'm like, this isn't as good, but whatever. I'm still enjoying. At some point in that film, Harry Osborn, played by, of course, what's his fucking name?
Harry Osborn?
Yeah, not Harry Osborn. The character Harry Osborn. James Franco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, motherfucker gets amnesia, and I checked out. Like, that was it. I was like, okay, fuck it. Movies, whatever I thought was going to be of this movie, it just turned to shit. I had my Spider-Man 3 feeling within the first 5 minutes of this fucking film. And I was scared for the rest of the film.
And you just checked out.
I was like, Damn. And then I did also was a little confused too, because I wasn't sure of Rios, like, how much she knew Juno. Like, they threw in, like, oh, she's the daughter of a senator or something. Like,
yeah,
right
where
in the
fuck
middle.
Did that come from? And then Rios, like, and then also fucking Vanes. I fucking hated his character from the get-go.
Oh my god.
He was such, like, a...
You know what? Okay, that's another thing that threw me off in this film. Right at the beginning, the scale, like, the amount of people that are on screen is, like, significantly different than the first one.
Well, if we're following sequel rules, higher body count,
that's right. But, like, just, like seeing, like, newscasters and, like, the outside world, I'm like, oh, this is not The Descent. Why are there...
No, it's true. The first one had a very limited, intimate cast.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. And I think that's kind of what added to the claustrophobia of the first one is because, like, the world felt so much smaller.
Yeah.
Because your whole perception of their world was limited to, like, 7 people.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's all them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you really don't know...
With this one, there's a whole wide world out there that's continuing... to go on.
They're just dropping plot. They're just like, senator's daughter, amnesia. Oh shit, we gotta figure out what happened to these people. Blood on, like, all this shit.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's a great point.
It's a little too much to just kind of take in right away.
I agree.
But Sheriff Vanes takes his deputy Ellen Rios, Sarah, and 3 spelunking specialists, Dan, Greg, and Kath, to the cave to find the missing women. The team members are sent down via an old mine shaft operated by the old mysterious Ed Oswald. Okay.
So this is also a great, like, pinpoint of a shitty movie. Random old mysterious guy that you see once, the camera lingers for about 500 seconds too long, and you're like, why? And then you find out at the last 30 seconds of the movie why.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, this guy...
And we'll get into it.
This guy's like... Oh, you don't want to go... He's Fred Gwynn. He's fucking Fred Gwynn. Pet Sematary.
He's like Dollar General Fred Gwynn.
No, he is. Yeah, he's totally Dollar... he's totally Dollar General Fred Gwynn.
Like,
not only that, though. Like, I was also a little pissed off. I'm like, but she's suffering and, like, recovering. You need to... not bring her in a cave.
Yeah, like, this literally, it's been 2 days. She's still really banged up. And they're like, oh, no, like, the place that you just came from that gave you amnesia, we're going to send you back down there. Because mm-hmm. also, all of these people, all of the, like, spelunking specialists or whatever, they were all looking in the wrong cave.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Well, because remember, in the first movie, Juno had registered a flight plan for the wrong cave. So they were all looking in the wrong cave.
That's right.
And then that's when when fucking Vaynes got the phone call, like, mm-hmm. that phone call for, like, it was like, why are they over there? And then they were just like, we were in this random as shit cave. And then they were just like, what the fuck? And because they were like, it was stupid.
Just seeing your frustration in your face as you try to reason. But then, fuck!
It was, yeah, I know.
Not only that, okay, so we got, like, Dollar General Fred Gwynne just being like, oh, there's mine shaft over here. Like,
we'll take you all the way down.
But, like, how...
how did they not find that in the first movie?
Not only that, dude, this mine shaft, they have to break this bitch open.
Yeah.
And, like, a dog's leading them to it based off the scent. The dog should have led them to the cave she came out of. Not the fucking mine shaft, unless it's like Dollar General store Fred Gwynne's fucking dog, who's like, oh yeah, we're gonna fucking get them. Like, it's weird. Ah, please tell us what's happening next, please.
And then also, so we have Dan, we have Greg.
Oh, by the way, yes, all their relationships are stupid.
So Dan and Kath are married.
They're married, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a mistake.
They're having, like, this, like, oh, yeah, I love you. I love you, too. We're totally going to survive till the end, aren't we?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, babe.
Yeah. Like, and this is like, okay. Like, and I think, like, I guess that was their idea of, like, I don't know, adding, like, tension. Because it's like, oh, no, there's a couple that are in love and invested in each other. And,
oh,
like,
my gosh.
Meanwhile, I'm watching and I'm just like, ugh.
Fucking.
Disgusting.
Like, no, at least have them fight. And, like, be like, oh, they didn't get to resolve the fight, and now they're dead. Like, something fun. Like, this is, like, this. They're just too, they're basically holding hands as they go down. Like,
yeah, no, yeah, yeah, they're like, yeah, they're, yeah, no, they're shoving their tongues down each other's throat. And like,
which one was Greg? I can't remember.
Greg was the like, young, handsome one.
Okay, is he the one that, like, would give, like, oh, no. Because the old man says he can't bring the gun down there, right?
Yeah, and
fucking,
they were just like, fucking Americans.
Vaynes is just like, I got a criminal here with other pusher blood on my shit. I'm bringing the gun.
And yeah, it's just like, she's a criminal now? Like, literally, you're in a country that, like, is not yours.
Yeah.
It's the first of, well, actually, no, I think they're in America.
Wait, I think it was the Appalachians or something
I'm not sure where they are, actually.
I forgot, yeah.
I don't know. I think it was supposed to be in the Appalachians.
Yeah.
But they're all British because it's a British movie, so I'm just assuming it's in Britain. But.
Oh, my gosh. Well, no, Senator's daughter. Mm. Senator is an American position.
I'm familiar with that much.
Yeah.
I'm very...
Not parliamentary.
No parliament bullshit.
Yeah. The Prime Minister's daughter. Oh, then that would be a whole different movie. I would love that.
But, that was weird. And then he's just like, well, first of all, it's so, okay, that proves my point further. Since they're in America, like, what happened to, like, she is a, like, tiny white lady.
Yeah.
Like, she should have, like, the most assumption of innocence because she's white.
That's right. Like, she should.
Like, if it was Juno, like, they would be like, oh, she's definitely a villain.
Yeah.
Or she's definitely a criminal.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, the keep the cuffs on the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, but, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Anyway, so the group discovers Rebecca's mutilated body, causing Sarah to have flashbacks of the crawlers and causing Vaynes to believe Sarah may be responsible for the girl's disappearance. While crawling through a tunnel, she attacks Vaynes and the others, causing them to split up because she takes off and panics.
Okay, I can kind of see this one.
This makes sense.
Yeah.
This part makes sense for so many reasons. Because, like, literally, you're taking a trauma victim
mm-hmm.
2 days after the event and sticking them in the same exact conditions of said trauma.
See, now, if they're going off the ending of it was all a hallucination with her in the car and Juno, and mm-hmm. then she was abandoned and surrounded by those motherfuckers, the last thing before losing her memory would be her beating the fuck out of, like, the hundreds of crawlers that were coming at her ass. Like, again, like a video game. So I can see the memory coming back and being like, oh, I'm in the fucking cave and there's crawlers everywhere. There's a body.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense.
Gotta go.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know if, like, they didn't confirm if that actually happened, so it's really hard for me to buy it still. But I mean, like, yeah, and then she starts gradually, like, becoming more of a person, I guess, from this point.
Well, from this point on, her memory kind of starts returning, and she kind of starts remembering what was going on.
Yeah, yeah. And then this, I did like, though, what I really liked about the scene is Vane's getting hit in the fucking face.
Oh, yeah, that was kicked. Awesome. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah, I was just like yeah. I wanted to see a footprint on his face the whole rest of the movie. Like, that's
Greg
what I was
waiting
for. Greg
also broke his nose.
Greg broke his nose? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, well, then fucking...
Well, everyone got hit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But then...
Oh, right. Vane runs to search for Sarah, and in the process is surprised by a crawler and fires his gun in a panic, causing a minor collapse in the cavern, which traps Kath, separating her from Rios, Dan, and Greg.
And this is where, like, our little lovebirds go into full-fledged panic mode.
I know, after 20 minutes of just like, baby, no, I'll protect you, stay by me. Oh.
And Kath is useless and trapped and, like, all this shit.
They just throw a damsel. Like, they all this girl power in the first film, it's like damsel in distress in the first half hour.
Yeah, and she's just like, I'm stuck! And Dan is just like, I can't, like, literally, like, everyone is just, and he's, like, freaking out. And, like, I can't do anything! And it's just...
Oh, my God. It's like that scene, have you seen Community?
Kind of.
Where the scene where Donald Glover... characters comes back with a cake and everything's on fire.
It's a pizza.
Oh, fire with a pizza. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's on fire. It was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like that. That's basically this scene. Everybody's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, but so this whole thing is just like a shit show because then Dan is also just like, fucking Americans with their fucking guns.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, point.
Right?
Point taken.
Yeah. Yeah. Vane's is proven to like not be good at his job. he's literally one of those good old boys that's just like, I can just do whatever I want, right? This high profile investigation just put on my lap because this is my jurisdiction. It's like, dude, you took the victim out of the hospital, she had a PTSD fucking attack in the place you put her in, and you shot your fucking gun in a cave, which you already told, everything you were told not to do is all coming into fruition.
They explicitly said, don't fire your fucking gun.
Oh my God, I'm getting too hot right now. I'm getting too hot.
I know, we're getting really angry. This like, this movie is 10 years old.
I can't believe I did Maria, why? Why did you do this to me? I know you're listening. I know you're listening. Anyways, is it your turn? Go for it.
It is my turn. So the three decide to find an alternate way around in order to try to free Kath and arrive in a room full of bones. Where they find Holly's video camera. They watch it and realize the women were attacked by the crawlers. And this is where we have a replay of that iconic scene in the first movie where they're like, oh, and then like the camera pans and there's like a crawler right behind.
Just chilling, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like the one that scares the shit out of everyone. The three are then themselves attacked by crawlers in a very similar fashion.
Yeah.
And are separated.
I like how at some point he's using the camera for like, this is the only light source and everything around him's fucking lit and other people like know where to go.
Here's the thing, is like, and what was something that I wish was done a little bit better is like they brought down body heat cameras.
They did, huh?
And I wish that had been used in a better fashion.
Or like...
At
yeah,
all.
Yeah, like, yeah, you bring the solution. Like, do they forget in the script that they did that when they rewrote it another pass?
They must have. I don't know. But, like, there was just, like, so many parts where I'm just like, oh, that would have been such a great addition where, like, it has that kind of, like, found footage element to it where someone's, like, freaking out looking, like, basically only limiting their range of vision to what they can see through a body heat camera.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even though they're cave dwellers, they still emit body heat.
I would have loved to have seen the direction of Alex Webster's The Descent 2. You directing this shit would have been awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Oh. Because, yes, that would have been a cool fucking shot. And it would have been different than the first film.
Yeah.
Because you could have used scale against
that. Well, right. And then that would have been a good way to incorporate a, like, bringing the outside world into it without necessarily it being too worldly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Fucking exactly. Jesus. Anyway, so Rio starts calling for help alerting the crawlers to her location, but is rescued by Sarah. Ooh. The two then watch as a crawler kills Dan and drags his body away, prompting Sarah to inform Rios that the crawlers are blind and hunt via sound. She's like, dumb bitch. That's essentially how she is.
She's just like, I've been here. I've been doing this.
Yeah, like, please stop fucking yelling. You see that? I'm gonna let him yell. And watch this. just so you learn.
I know. You're gonna watch and learn. Oh, this is a learning opportunity.
Again, but I like Rios, like, being able to, like, take the lesson at heart and be like, okay, I'm just gonna shut the fuck up and
understood,
be behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're kind of gonna, like, Sarah's also mean, though, in this particular her stuff
she's
was
she's significantly meaner.
Yeah, she's not like
but
understanding
also,
with
again,
Rios at all. Like,
she's also very traumatized, and I think that that adds an interesting element to it. But I like her character more in this movie.
Really?
More than I did in the first one.
She definitely has more of an agency because she's been through this shit before.
Yeah.
But I also feel like she doesn't think Rios is gonna survive, so she's just like, okay, yeah, here's some exposition, and let's just fucking go.
No, she's. But no, like, there's that scene where Rios is recording, like, a message for her daughter,
mm-hmm.
and she's just like, I wish I could have done that for my daughter,
oh,
or, like,
that's
whatever.
True. Yeah.
But we're both, we're both alive. We're not dead yet.
Okay,
like,
you're
let's
right.
keep going.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I'm not.
She gets there.
Like, she's like, you know, like, she's like, I'm not gonna, you know. Let
she's
you die.
True. She's just very curt now. Like, now she's straight up like...
that's a trauma response,
Yeah,
though.
That makes
like,
sense.
That's actually a very well-done trauma response.
All right, I'll change my opinion on that. That's fine. That's fine. Rios and Sarah's storyline, not as terrible so far.
So far.
Yes.
After escaping from and killing a crawler, first of all, fantastic kill. This is when Kath escapes from the crawler coming up through where she's trapped, and she kicks that rock out, and a boulder crushes its skull.
Yeah, the crunchiness.
Oh, yeah.
The crunchiness is actually pretty
good.
And
the goriness of that one, I was, like, that was one, because there was a couple times, I must admit, because I watched this by myself last night,
mm-hmm.
where I was sitting there, and I was just like, ooh.
Yeah, no, it's graphic. It's very graphic. But that kill was, like, the one Neil Marshall moment.
Yeah, that was pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
I actually think I did say, like, ooh, That's gross. Anyway, but Kath finds Greg before the two escape from another crawler and find Sam's body. And she's
right.
the one who's
she's
dangling just, over
mm-hmm.
a chasm.
She's strung up.
Yeah.
She got, like, gashed, right? Yeah.
They decide to try to use her to swing across the chasm, but are attacked again. Greg sacrifices himself to buy time for Kath, but she ultimately does not survive. This is Kath's dumb bitch moment, where Greg, literally after having, like, his jugular punctured, manages to impale one
mm-hmm.
crawler, kills him, and then in his final act, flings himself, grabs the crawler that was holding on to Kath, and drags him and, like, falls down to this bottom of this chasm.
Dude, Greg was kicking ass.
Yeah, he was just, like, he went out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
Like, he went out, like, kicking ass. And then Kath makes it across the chasm, and she's just like, I made it. And then she starts screaming. Greg! And then, like, finally it gets really quiet, and she stops, and she turns around, and there's a crawler right there, and like, and then you just hear, like, flesh ripping, and you see blood splatter,
she's
and I'm just like,
eaten.
Yeah, she's getting eight. And I'm just like,
ugh,
dumb bitch.
And the thing is, like, her escape, though, I'm like, you could have done that. Like, if I'm sure, you know, the flight or fight response, like, made sense, and
mm-hmm.
it was like, oh, now she had to, like, engineer her way out of there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, Kath, just look around a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Look around a little more. You could have saved Greg's ass. Like, you really could have. But, I mean, she did get one of these motherfuckers down, at least, with that sweet-ass kill. But fucking Greg, dude, like, for nothing.
Yeah, no, Greg died for pretty much nothing.
He died for shit. It's like, okay, you're going to have
but
a harder time finding the body
he
now.
He comes back later.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And so Greg is... Him and Kath are in the running for the most useless characters in this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Him, Kath, and Vance. I'm just like, you motherfuckers caused so much death.
You'll find out in minutes how Greg gets rid of all his goodwill. He gets rid of all his goodwill in one moment.
I was so fucking angry.
Yep. Well, now we're at the splitting point in the movie here. So Rios reveals to Sarah that she has a daughter elsewhere. The Rios reveals to Sarah that she has a daughter, which is another one of those, like,
Where they had that conversation, mm-hmm. and, like, where she's just like, we're not dead yet, like, let's keep going.
Elsewhere, Vaynes is attacked by a crawler, but saved by dun-dun-dun-dun on all the promo images.
It's revealed.
It's Juno. Juno, who was alive and adept at hunting the crawlers after being in the cave for an additional 3 days from the last movie. She's got it. All it took was 3 days. Now she's got their metagame down.
She had a training montage.
Oh my god, Juno training montage would be the fucking best.
She had a I don't know. She sat there in silence. No, yeah. I don't know what the fuck happened, but I don't know how the hell her getting kneecapped, man, it like healed, but
yeah. I'm loving this idea of a junior training month. Oh my god.
It was a joke.
Fucking, you're the best around. Nothing is an issue. She's
just silently prancing around the cave.
Like, it's just all these quick cuts to her, like, in the back of their heads, just like, fight. Oh my god.
Well, also, because her torch went out, so she also has been in complete darkness.
Oh, right. Yeah, and she's somehow, like, on their level. Oh my gosh, yeah, this fucking movie. But yeah, Juno training montage happens off screen. She comes back. She saves the fuck, though, out of Vaynes.
Doesn't deserve it.
Doesn't deserve that shit at all.
And he has the fucking gall to say, I'm here to save you.
She's like, bitch.
Yeah, I would be too. Like he's on the ground after just getting rescued, and like he's just like, Juno? And she looks at him like, what the fuck are you? And he's just like, I'm here to rescue you. And I'm just like, oh my fucking god. What kind of white mediocrity is this?
Old shitty Han Solo there coming in. Fuck. And then the thing, I would love to her to like break down. Okay, cool. So when's the rescue crew coming? Oh, they're looking at another cave. Okay. So do you have any weapons or anything with you? I dropped my gun. Do you know the path out?
No.
There's a collapse over there because I shot the gun. Okay, well, here are the rules in the cave now.
Yeah, you're fucking useless.
God. Oh, if Juno, like, had the frame of mind to break his ass down, that would have been the... Because really, look at the reasoning. Oh, fuck. Fuck. Please, let us just...
Again, this is why I needed justice for Juno.
Yeah.
Because the more I watched it, I was just like...
It's like, do you know the path out? No, bro. I brought Sarah. You brought Sarah? Juno was just giving shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he just burdened himself to her, basically. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let us, please.
Oh, yeah. So, let's see here. They reunite with Rios and Sarah, who is shocked to see Juno alive. Juno is furious that Sarah left her to die, and they have a very brief... emotional fight, which was weird. But then they really quickly work their shit out.
It's like top 10 anime scenes right
here. Yeah. Just and the four decide to work together to survive. Juno leads them to a feeding pit, which she claims has a passage to the surface that the crawlers use to gather food from above the ground. Vaynes handcuffs Sarah to himself so that she will not abandon them like she did Juno.
Damn. Sarah has just not earned a lot of goodwill.
But also, Vaynes is a particular level of, like, douchebag where I'm just like, I would never want to be handcuffed to someone in a cave.
Dude.
For reasons we will shortly get into.
He is literally, like, the good old boy, man.
He's like this all-American, like, not a fan.
I'm the sheriff.
Yeah.
And I do love that fight, though. Between Juno and Sarah, because it's an anime moment. It's like straight up like Naruto and Sasuke, just like, what?
Like they see each other and just lunge at each other, and like there's like flips and shit.
Yeah,
and
they're using their special weapons. And
it's true. It was a very weird. It was a very like it was very interesting because also again the costuming very odd because Sarah wears all white.
Yeah. Okay. She does, huh?
Yeah, like, they dress her in all white and send her down, and I'm like, that's really weird, but alright. And then, like, obviously, like, Juno is, like, wearing the same outfit from before, and she's, like, fucking filthy, so.
Right? It's all just fucked up and tattered now, and she's just like, whatever, like...
Yeah, so I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, it was an interesting introduction to them, but then they're just, like... there doesn't really seem to be, like, they're still mad at each other. Even by the end of this, they're just kind of, like, huffing and just, like, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Fuck you. Vane just, like, I don't trust anybody in here.
Yeah, there's some added animosity. And
Rios is just, like, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. And we found her, didn't we? We found her. We saw what happened. Let's just go home.
I know. She's just, like, I have a kid. Can I go?
Oh, my God. This is, yeah, there's nobody's happy in this one scene. Everybody just ends it with, like, okay, well, we all are kind of stuck with each other. Mm-hmm. That's it. Anyways, stupid ass fucking Vane falls over a ledge. almost drags Sarah with him. Juno orders Rio to cut off Vane's hand to save Sarah. Despite his protest, she does so, causing Vane to fall to his death. Let's just get into it, Alex. Please tell
us. This was so satisfying.
Satisfying. Initially stupid, but once I saw the hand, once I saw the suffering, I was like, fine.
Hurt me on a particular level because there's a scene where Sarah's holding on to with her fingernails and you see her fingernails break. Yeah. And that, like, I was tense for the rest of the scene because it hurt me.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, the rest of it, I was just like, oh,
fuck. No.
Yeah, I was just like, fuck. But no, like, you see her literal fingernail lift from their beds, and I'm like,
ugh. Yeah, oh, that was a graphic-ass movie.
It was very graphic. Very graphic. Definitely follows the higher, like, you know, higher body count, much more gory.
Yep, it follows the rules, that's true.
Yeah, so that scene, I was really frustrated, because, like, also, like, Sarah's freaking out, and she's, like, screaming, and then she asked Juno for help. And then, like, she kind of, like, takes the bag and, like, she's thinking about, like, just, like, dipping.
Mm-hmm.
And then she decides not to. And then Rios has to chop off Vane's hand.
Yeah. See, I thought she was going to cut the cuff link, the little chain in between. I assume she was just going to try to be accurate.
I don't think you can. Yeah. I don't think you can be that accurate with something like a pickaxe.
No, you're right. But in my mind, I was just like, every movie has taught me that you cut the cuff. Or that you cut the string that connects people. And she's nope.
You always try to cut the cuff first, and then when you inevitably fail, then you go for the hand.
But Rios was just like, you know, fuck this guy.
She's just like, we don't have time for that. No. Well, then also because you see two crawlers coming up, and they're kind of using veins as like a stepladder, so to speak, to get up. So they
climb
really
these rocks,
the time. And it's really graphic. Like it's not like a one chop and done. Like she has to hack.
She has to hack away. Hack and Vane just like screaming.
Oh yeah, it's
that. He's like, oh no!
It's very graphic. It's really gosh. Fucked up.
Ugh. Well, fuck. Yeah, we got through that one.
Sarah, Juno, and Rios reach the exit. Which, by the way, so all the women except for Kath make it to the end.
Yay!
Sarah, Juno, and Rios reach the exit, but are blocked by a group of crawlers led by their large leader.
Yeah.
It's the boss.
But when it comes to final bosses, I actually would be scared of this boss if I saw him in a game. Like, if I saw him in a game, I'm like, oh, you gotta fucking be kidding me. I got that my good weapons, right?
Like, am I stocked?
Yeah.
Do I have enough ammunition?
Oh my gosh.
They try to quietly sneak past the crawlers, but Greg, who is dying from his injuries, appears and grabs Juno's leg in a last effort to save himself. Fucking Greg.
Dude, you're doomed, Greg. I get it. You want to live.
I get it. But, like, you fell. You had your throat ripped out. You shouldn't even be alive this long.
How are you breathing right now? Yeah, exactly. Like, nobody's going to get to you in time to stitch you. It's just not going to happen.
Just make peace.
Be food. You're okay.
Like, let it go.
Be good food. You're fine. You can fill them up so they want to eat the others.
Yeah. Instead, you grab Juno. And she screams.
I bet he's like, Kath's not here. He's like pointing up like, ah, fuck. Did I die for nothing?
Yeah. Fucking Greg. Honestly, I was like on board with this movie.
Mm.
Like I was like, okay, this is like trash, but like it's kind of somewhat enjoyable until this moment.
Yeah.
Until Greg showed up and he shouldn't even be alive and he does this dumb fucking like dumb shit.
Dude, that's true. He shouldn't be alive. He gets it nastier than everybody. And somehow at the end, he's just like, I'm a pile, please.
I don't wanna be food.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Oh my god, if they had like one musical interlude of Greg, I don't wanna be food. The fucking corpse of skulls start singing back up.
We didn't want to be food either. Yeah. No! It's a musical.
We were once like you, but now we are food. All the lights turned off behind him, and just a little, little spotlight.
Spotlight. I like how we both went there.
Yeah. Anyways,
still better than the Descent 2.
Yeah, yeah. This could have, if they would have really went ham on this, it would have been awesome. But Greg
actually dies.
Yeah, Greg dies, and the women are left to fight off the rest of these fucking crawlers. And then after all the crawlers are killed, Sarah tries to rescue Juno from fucking Final Boss Leader, but it slashes into Juno's stomach, mortally wounding the person that came there to save.
And pissing me off.
Yeah, Sarah then kills it before Juno dies in her arms. More crawlers arrive, but Sarah draws their attention to herself by doing the most anime-ass fucking weird fucking scream ever.
I was thinking more, it reminded me a lot of the, A Quiet Place.
Oh yeah, it is.
I was just like, well, this is a real A Quiet Place move.
It is, but like, shot pretty stupidly because it's like right on her face, and she's like staring at the camera, like and then Rios is just slinking away.
And like she realizes what she's doing, and then she just like goes. Yeah, I'm like, oh.
I like how she protests for like a second. She's like, whoa, never mind. I gotta get out of here.
I gotta go.
Yeah,
this is my chance.
And they just like trounce on her. Like, these motherfuckers are like, we wanted to eat that 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And now it's here. So, yeah, Sarah sacrifices her ass to get Rios a little bit of a chance.
Yeah, and as Sarah is presumably killed, because we don't see it. Rios escapes from the cave, and when she tries to call for help, she's attacked by dollar store Fred Gwynn, Ed, who drags her back to the opening as food for the crawlers. As Rios regains consciousness, a blood-covered crawler pops out towards the camera, and it's assumed that she gets dragged back.
Okay.
And that is the end of the movie.
That's how it ends.
We made it.
We did. There was no real context given for Dollar General Fred Gwynn.
Other than the beginning?
Well, like, a couple shots where he, like, looks creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, yeah, see? He was behind it.
Well, also, what does he gain from giving them food? What does he gain?
He doesn't want to lose his property, so he's like, listen, I still want
to
live
here. Property values down? Yeah, like,
so
what?
He's like, here's some food, guys. Here.
Yeah, and what? They just make sure, I don't know, like, what business meeting does he have with the big boss?
I know. So, you want teenagers? Do you want older ladies? What do you want for the menu this week?
Girls!
It's like, one left. Ah, well, there's an investigation and da-da-da.
The blood of the innocent.
Oh my god, this fucking movie. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so.
So that's pretty much the synopsis, play-by-play of the movie in essence. The movie's like 2 hours long.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
Like, it's drawn out extensively. Because the first movie's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It is perfectly paced. This one is drawn out a little bit longer than it should be, in my opinion.
And it has, like, I don't know, it stuffs the plot in the beginning, and then when they're cave, they're like, let's just relax.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, we make it, like, an hour and a half into the movie before we even know Juno's alive.
That's true. They say, they're like, they couldn't afford let that Natalie Mendoza fucking SAG wage right there.
I don't know why, but, like, literally, she's only in the movie for, like, maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, she is not in the movie for very long.
No. And then, like, it's like an emotional thing when she dies. And, like, really, like, they still hated each other.
But, like, they kind of made peace at the end. And it was just, like, kind of like an opportunity. And, like, because this time Sarah refused to leave her.
Yeah.
And, like, so it was like, whatever. But I was just like, ugh. You're right. It's definitely more soap opera than it is.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Indie drama.
Because, I mean, like, all the plot developments were done in the cave in the previous film. All the relationship, like, the everything that people characters had to get over was in the cave.
It was, like, the precursor to it was all, like, it was kind of, like, subtle and like behind the scenes and stuff that was all like leading up to going into the cave, and then all of the like actual conflict happened in the cave. And I think that's kind of, that was a cool balance, because like once they were in the cave, all like the masks came off.
Yeah, everyone was like, the mask came off. That's right.
Everyone was all nasty to each other.
Yeah, they got to see the, everybody's true colors. And in this one, it's like just egos out the ass.
Yeah.
And then stupid decisions. And then like, well, bye, Rios.
Yeah.
And Rios is like, psych. Oh, and that little stinger at the end too. I didn't like the little motherfuckers coming at.
Oh yeah, that was a horrible final jump scare. But no, yeah, that little jump scare at the end was ridiculously cheesy. Like I would have liked it so much more if you had actual, because like the design of it made it look really bad. Like if they had just like actually shown like a hand just like, or like an arm reach out and like grab her body and drag it down.
Drag it, yeah.
That would have been so much cooler. Again, I should have directed this movie, but
whatever. You totally should have. totally should have. Fucking Dollars for Fred Gwynn just chilling from the distance, smoking a cigarette. It's like, I'm safe for 2 more weeks.
Rent's paid. Like, what did he gain? I don't understand. Like, that was something that was so confusing. It's like
all part of living the life. He just likes doing it. Yeah, he just likes doing it.
He's just a fucking psychopath. Yeah. He, like, gets his rocks off by feeding, like...
He's got a camera outside the cave. He's like, now I got jerk-off material. That's what I...
Another entry in my spank bank.
Ooh, okay. Oh, discussion time.
Yeah.
Even though we discussed a lot of this shit, Alex Webster, thoughts on the film, please. Please.
I think it was, like, trashily great. Like, it was obviously not as good as the first one.
Yeah.
But I mean, I enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying railing on it right now.
Honestly, us talking about it right now, I kind of want to watch it again. I'm not gonna lie. Like, you're right. This is garbage.
Yeah, exactly. It is garbage with, like, the proper, like, accent. It is classy garbage. No, it's not even classy garbage. It's just garbage. But, like, I like it.
Honestly, if you are in a room with a bunch of fans of The Descent Part 1, you guys all watch together, have a scary movie, like, Halloween, it's, you know, October's coming up. Like, you guys do, like, a little, like, screening, and Descent 1 is on your menu. Immediately follow up with Descent 2. Just immediately follow it up.
But in between, play, like, a really, like, lightning round drinking or smoking game or something.
Get lit to shit, lit, dude.
Between 1 and 2.
Like, let your eyes be rolling in the back of your fucking head lit. Like, have some White Claws with you. Get stoned. Like, just go ham. And then watch The Descent 2. And allow talking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Allow, because, like, here's the thing. It's like, I was so talkative for the first one. Or not talkative in the first one. Or in the second one. Like, just by myself. Here, in my apartment, by myself.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I said it out loud. Like
a couple times, right? Yeah. No, I'm
not. So, it was like, imagine it with other people. Like, I would have been like, did you fucking see that? Like, absolutely. It would have been great.
I would recommend this film if you're doing a double feature.
Mm-hmm.
And, or if you're with people who know The Descent 1, like, the back of their fucking hand.
People who love The Descent 1 who haven't seen The Descent 2. I don't know many who have, because it's been out for 10 years, but if they have it or they just didn't know it existed, please watch it with them, because they will be angry and it'll be great.
And just get drunk. Okay. Get drunk.
So, your thoughts now that we've discussed it.
I still hate this movie. Okay. I still vehemently like it, because I love the first one so much. This one shits all over the first one.
Quite literally.
It does, yeah, with the little shit pile they fall into.
Yeah! So, in the movie, it's not in the synopsis, it wasn't in the play-by-play, but, like, there's a scene where Sarah and Rios fall into this, like, weird, like...
Dookie pile?
it's a little, like, water pool thing.
A shit pond.
Yes, it's a shit pond. And they're just, like, for a second, and then they're like, what is this? And then they see a little, like, a crawler come over, and they're just, like, they're, like, really quiet, wondering what's gonna happen. And then he takes a shit in the little lake thing. And I'm like, is this their attempt at humor?
Is this, that's emblematic of the whole movie. That's the scene that defines the film right there.
And I'm just like, it just seemed so unnecessary. It seemed so, like, I'm like, is this really what you felt was necessary for context and for, like, continuity?
Yeah.
Like, is this really, like, is this the question you really felt the fans of Descent, the first Descent, needed answered? Like, where are they shit?
Where
they... That's really what the question you felt they needed answered.
That's part of crawler lore now.
They shit in that one pond. They just, oh my god.
Okay.
That was the one thing that I was just like, that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
Seriously. So what about the film fell short or succeeded in comparison to the first film?
I feel like they were attempting to go for a similar lighting in the second one, yeah. but it was too well lit.
Too much.
Like, it was to a point where I'm like, did they install lights down there? Like, what's going on?
Creature design, worse.
The creature design was worse. Again, just don't fuck with a good thing. Like, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
And have compelling characters, not, like, archetypes.
Yeah, I will say, yeah, that's true. They were, I think, a little overly ambitious with certain aspects. Like, I do like the concept of, like, a co-ed team going down. I think that's great. But I do think that the characters needed to be more well-developed and more well-rounded in the similar way that the characters in the first Descent were. Mm-hmm. Because they were all individual characters with, like, significant stories. And I just don't think they had the same amount of time to really develop their characters in the second one that they did in the first one.
Well, they had a lot of that, like, senator plot and shit or whatever.
Well, the first third of the movie, like, you know, because the entire film is limited to just those seven characters, you do get to, like, hash out some of their backstory a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Also because they're not even in the movie, or in the movie, they're not even in the cave until like halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
So I think that makes a little bit more sense. I don't know if anything, like, succeeded in comparison to the first film. Like, no. I don't think it exceeded anything of the first film.
Good graphic kills.
Yeah, I would say in terms of, like, kills, it definitely met it.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of goriness, I think it exceeded.
Yeah.
But I didn't even feel necessarily claustrophobic.
No, me neither.
Like, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, in the claustrophobia scale, this did nothing for me. In the way that the first one, I was fucking terrified.
Dude, they were, like, barely squeezing through certain parts of the cave, even when there weren't monsters.
Like, yeah, in the first one. There was one scene where they were going through a tunnel... And that was pretty much it. And even then, I wasn't even really nervous for them.
No, we knew they were going to get in the fucking tunnel. Yeah.
And maybe that's because we knew it's a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if that had to do with that. But, like, I had no feelings of claustrophobia.
Nah, people were walking too liberally in this one.
Yeah. There was too much open space.
Yeah.
I think that all of... I mean, again, that also could be because so much of the tension in the second one was driven now that the cat's out of the bag,
that's right.
So to speak, about the monsters, that the conflict was more driven by the monsters instead of the cave itself.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a good point. Okay. All right. Yeah. No.
That's my two cents anyway.
That's a good assessment. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Which is why the monsters get a lot more emphasis and detail, I guess, in this one now. But, like...
It shouldn't have been as well lit as it was.
No, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so, this is fun. We've been doing this. What would have been your ideal sequel or follow-up to the original?
I think this was a good plot line.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that there were so many, like, shitty elements to the plot line.
Yeah.
Like, I think that the characters needed more work. I think that the set design needed to be more claustrophobic. And I think that the lighting needed work. But overall, the editing, I think, was good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the editing was done in a very, like, tension-building way.
Yeah.
I think that was good.
It felt like a movie. It felt like a movie, at least.
Yeah.
Which is why you can bullshit and fuck up and watch it and, like, have fun. Because it's still a movie.
Yeah. And you've heard my additions. You know, like, what I... the sequel by me, or, yeah, the sequel directed by Alex Webster would be very different. I don't know if I would keep... Like, I think... Well, okay, actually, I'm going to take that back because we've been talking about it in the context of this particular plot line.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would have loved to have seen a completely different...
Same here.
...group of people.
Right? Okay.
I would have loved to have seen, like, maybe, like, not... you know, not days, mm-hmm. not even weeks, but maybe within like a year, mm-hmm. maybe two, within the events of the first movie, a new like group, but like smaller.
Yeah.
Like a smaller, like maybe, I don't know, anywhere between 4 or 5 people,
mm-hmm.
Kind of discovering it, yeah. and like go in and kind of in and that, and then discovering the bodies of right. all of the people. I think that would have been really cool, and then discovering Holly's camera that way. I think that would have been really cool. See? So I think kind of continuing like the franchise that way by this like. By the cave itself being the staple of the franchise,
yeah.
and not the human characters being the staple of the franchise.
Okay, see, I agree. My conception of the sequel is very similar to that. I would have loved, like, the cave itself to have, like, an element of notoriety to it.
Yeah.
And, like, people hear about it mm-hmm. because 7 people got lost.
But the only issue with that is that people never knew about that cave in particular because they were on a flight plan for a different mm-hmm. cave.
Well, what if they get to it through another cave? That would be awesome.
Oh, it's connected to a different
network. I think that would have been cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. But I would like people to have, like, this idea of, like, well, there's a crew of spelunkers out there. Like, we don't know if they got lost in a cave and got lost whatever, but we've heard mm-hmm. it's out and whatever it is. And, like, a group of people trying to, like, figure it out. Because it's one of those internet things where people are like, what happened to the disappearance of blah, 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 blah. And they're just like, dude, like, theory is, like, whatever it is. So, like, try to, like, and then they succeed. And that's when they see the camera, decomposed bodies. But I also kind of would have been okay with Juno still alive. But, like, haggard and, like, all fucked up. And
like, super fucked up, super, like, haggard and, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how did you find out about this? And they're just like, there's a route outside. like, we could get you out.
Like, come with us if you want to live.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, but, like, a whole different group. A whole different group would have been awesome. I think, like, this being one of those old true crime unsolved mysteries kind of things and people, like, really obsessing about it and then one group taken to it.
Kind of like a combination of As Above, So Below and the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Found footage descent, too.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Oh. We're going to, like, street live stream all our stuff and document this. And
well, you can't live stream that far below ground. Right. But, like, we're going to record everything. We're going to upload it so you can see everything that we're doing and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, really contemporize it.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been fucking cool. And then the monsters go in there. They see the skulls and the bodies and all this shit. Like, yeah, that would have been good. Find the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
That would have been a cool sequel. God damn it. Why aren't we directors?
I know, right? Descent Part 3, there we go.
Right?
Let's just forget about Part 2 completely. Never happened.
Right. So, since we're in sequel territory, would you categorize Sarah as a final girl? What about, and if so, yeah, why? And if not, what about Juno?
I don't know if this movie has, I don't know if there's a final girl, maybe. I think Rios is more the final girl in this one.
Well, in this one, yes, but I'm thinking more of the transition from the first movie to the second movie.
No, she's just an element now. I wouldn't say she's the final girl anymore. Because you kind of feel like even going in, you know she's not going to make it.
In
like,
the first, or
in
Sarah?
This, in this one, Sarah, yeah. She's more like an element to move the plot forward. But she's
so like a catalyst.
Yeah, the catalyst more. She's more of a device than
like
anything
a plot
else.
Device? All
yeah,
right.
Exactly. She's not given enough. To, like, be a final girl anymore. Her conflict is with Juno, basically.
And yeah.
You're technically not supposed to know it's a conflict for the longest time anyways.
And then once Juno dies, then mm-hmm. she also is, like, you know, made her peace with it. And she also,
yeah.
like,
it's like a lingering threat. That's what it is. She is a lingering threat as opposed to Rios.
It's a lingering plot thread from mm-hmm. the first one. So it kind of, like, it's, okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can like, actually envision that. That makes sense.
Yeah, and then Rios is more like, I have a daughter, and I want to make sure this stuff gets done. And she has agency in the film and is trying to get shit done, but everything else is, like, falling off around her.
She has the final girl tenacity where, like, she's, like, willing to chop off her boss's arm.
Yeah.
Like,
right?
So that she can get out, so she can get to her daughter. Like, she mm-hmm. is something on the outside of the whole thing to, like, get back to.
And she's also severely disadvantaged because she's not used to these things. She doesn't have any of the guns, any of the stuff. So she is in a position to be a damsel, mm-hmm. but still finds her way around it through her own ingenuity and help from others.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense.
Yeah, how about you?
I know you've convinced me because in my head I was like, yeah, she's, like, technically a final girl. Like, in all technicalities. Yeah. Yes, she's the final girl from the first movie to the second movie, but she does die in the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
But she makes it to the end of the second movie. So true. I would say it's a complete final girl story arc.
Yeah.
Where you kind of live to pass your mantle on to someone else.
There you go. It is a mantle passing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Until they fuck it up with the last 2 minutes.
Which she should have gotten out.
She should have gotten out.
Rios, like that last, like the last 3 minutes of that of the movie should not mm-hmm. have happened.
She should have had the camcorder with her.
It made
too.
Absolutely no sense.
Yeah, if
it
she
made
were...
no sense. It didn't fit in with the movie. I think they just threw it in there because we were like, oh, shock value.
Yeah,
I didn't like it at all. But no. That's just my opinion. But yeah, I think Juno in this case, like, is I think she's a lot more badass, but mm-hmm. I think she's a lot more of a plot device in this yeah. case.
And I still, even with Juno in this film, I wanted more Juno. Mm-hmm. I wanted like 10 extra minutes of Juno.
I thought we were going to get, like, I thought it was going to be like they were going to be in the cave for like 2 minutes and then Juno's going to be like, what the fuck are you doing
yeah.
here? But, you know. But okay, so as a follow-up then, does this film adhere to traditional sequel tropes, and what does it do right, and what do you think it kind of lacks?
In terms of adhering to sequel tropes, I think it does everything you're supposed to do in a sequel, to be honest with you, but it's just, like, doesn't do it well.
I mean, it doesn't have to do it well, I guess.
Yeah, but it does it.
They're definitely there.
Yeah, it's more gory, big body count, everything you thought you knew about the first one. I don't know. What were the tropes again? I can't remember.
I know. It's,
yeah. The killer. I wouldn't say there's like a killer, but when you think something's like, it's good, it's not good actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It does all the workman stuff it's supposed to do, you know? Mm-hmm. I just don't think it does any of it really all that well.
Understandable.
And it's just kind of cheesy with it sometimes, you know?
I think, in terms of the tropes, well, for a quick refresher, assuming my computer doesn't want to crash on me right now.
You're doing too much.
I know, yeah. The body count is always bigger.
Mm-hmm.
The death scenes are more elaborate. And never, ever assume the killer is dead.
Yeah, I mean...
So, in this case, yes, the rules have been followed.
The rules have been followed. They actually have.
Yeah, and I mean, in this case, the killer, I think I'm substituting out for Juno, but
yeah,
because we assume Juno died.
That's true. Never ever assume blank from first movie the plot is dead.
Yeah, I didn't know Juno. Yeah, yeah, that final death. Mm-hmm. I didn't know Juno was alive.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh.
I knew nothing about the movie going into it. So
oh,
I was
interesting.
Just, I was just like, what the fuck?
Oh, the anime fight probably was pretty good for you then.
Yeah, I was just
oh, okay. No, that was spoiled for me. Ugh. So I knew Juno was not going to was gonna come back. I was waiting for when. And when I was like, that's why, for most of the movie, I'm like, when are we going to get to the fireworks factory? What's like when's she coming back? I want to see it.
When's the cool girl fight?
Yeah. Oh, fucking A. Okay. All in all. In this film, body count is 20. 7 humans and 13 crawlers. This is assuming that the death of the unconscious Rios occurs off screen. What is your kill of the film? I know mine.
The crawler getting his head crushed.
Shit. Okay, that could... Never mind.
Well, I mean, we can have different ones. We don't have to be in consensus.
That's a good kill, though. That's a good kill.
I think that... Because that's the one that, like, really, really affected me the most. And I remember as I was watching it, I'm like, that's going to be my kill of the film. Like, that's definitely going to be my kill of the film.
That's a metal fucking kill right there.
I was just like, oh, shit. Because she just, like, kicks the rock out and, like, the boulder just... Oh, and I was just like, oh, shit.
If you're lit watching this with a bunch of people who love The Descent 1, that kill, y'all got a drink to it. That's one of those, like, hey! In terms of my kill of the film, Vane's fucking getting his shit just
wrecked.
Chopped and falling with crawl. Like, him dying was the most satisfying thing to me.
It was very satisfying.
I fucking hated his ass.
Yeah.
I hated his ass. And to see him go in such a brutal fashion with just screaming in pain and just like, ah, you bitches! Like,
curse you!
I would have gotten away with it too if it was with you. Damn kids.
He looks like a Scooby-Doo villain.
He does,
he
dude.
He looks like a fucking Scooby-Doo villain.
Scooby-Doo,
what
like the gang
fucking,
in... Oh
yeah.
My god, the
what
gang in the cave?
Prick. Yeah.
The gang, the Scooby-Doo mystery team in the cave of the Descent would have been the shit with, like,
oh,
with
man.
The Descent 2 crew guiding them.
So, Shaggy like, would have gotten his shit wrecked, like...
Oh my god. Scoobs.
I don't know how I feel about this, Scoob.
They're eating Daphne, Scoobs.
Who would be the final survivor, though?
Scooby-Doo. Yeah, I think Scooby would have just, like, rolled up out of there. He's like, with his little fucking leg spinning. He sees the light.
I don't know. Those dogs got out of there pretty quick.
No. You know what? Scooby would have died. You know who would have been the fucking final person is Velma. Velma would have.
Velma has glasses. She would have gotten her shit knocked off.
Nah, dude. Velma's resourceful. She'd have been like, "Jinkies, I see in this camera that we probably shouldn't go down this route." Fred's like, "What are you kidding me? That's like, that's a big tunnel right there. I think we should like Ted. His headstrongness would have done them in."
Yeah. Or Jinkies, I read in a book somewhere. If you follow the airflow and it'll like whatever.
Right? Yeah. No, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
Good point.
And Fred would have just been like, airflow, fuck that.
This looks more open. Let's go this way. Like, God.
Oh my gosh. No, Daphne's done though. Yeah. I think Daphne's done. Shaggy's done. I feel like Daphne's the sacrifice that they make right away.
No, like, Daphne.
Like you're like, you think you know what's going to happen and she's just done.
Aw.
Yeah. And Fred's like, we gotta go back for Daphne. And Velma's just like, well, the video, she's like, they probably got her.
Yeah, no, I agree with your consensus. All right.
That must have been a much better movie, Mystery Team.
See, we've come up with at least 4 great sequels.
Right?
One was a musical.
One was a musical. One was with that meta fucking internet true crime sleuth version, and then other was New Team.
and Scooby-Doo. So there we go. We've given you a plethora of options, but
there's only one Descent Part 2,
and it's the one
we covered today.
All right. I think. Is there anything else? Any other praises or
you know they're not praises. Yeah, you know, well, there's no praises.
Okay, you know what? Now that we've made it, Anthony, say 3 nice things about this movie.
Oh, fuck. All right. Gory ass kills.
Okay.
Natalie Mendoza.
Okay.
Fuck.
One more.
Editing. It was edited like a movie. No, that's just competency. Vane's dying.
Nope.
Fuck. I'm really struggling. You know what? It's enough of a movie to where if you get plastered and watch it with friends...
You can say it's a good popcorn flick.
It's a good popcorn flick, fine.
You can say that. I will allow that. Okay.
It's a really fun popcorn flick under very popcorny circumstances, I think.
Popcorn and various levels of intoxication.
Yes.
All right. I will accept it.
How about you? Nice things to say about
it. I've already said plenty of nice things. Okay. I'm just saying it to pick on you.
All right. Now, for next week, guys.
I bleeped it out earlier.
We bleeped it out, but it will be our longtime franchise revival film.
Yes.
Which is the final type of sequel we're covering this month, and I'm pretty excited about it. I saw it recently. I'm not going to tell you my thoughts just yet, because Alex still needs to watch it.
I still have to watch it. I'm excited. I've heard good things, though, so I'm excited.
All right.
I think it'll be a good time, and I can't believe September's already wrapping up.
Seriously, what the fuck, dude? Oh, we got October.
And then we have October.
Oh my God, you guys already... Okay, we're going to hype up October. Next week, though,
we'll hype up October at the end of next week, and then at this point, let's see, this is coming out the third week of September, so at this point we'll be going to Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, that's right,
this weekend.
Oh my gosh, so, we are prepared. Damn.
Yeah, so this weekend we'll be going to Halloween Horror Nights. So
look out for some social media.
Yeah, check
stuff
us
right
out
there.
On social media, because we're gonna be going to Halloween Horror Nights, and it'll be a great time.
Yeah, if you hear voices in lines like with us just talking shit, you know that's us. That's us.
If you're gonna be there, we're going on Saturday, so if you see us, or if you know, want to say hi, let us know.
For real. All right. Other than that,
we're good. Yeah, so this has been The Descent Part 2 from 2009.
10 years. Fucking 10 years.
So thank you so much for listening and joining us. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It means the world to us, and it keeps us up on the charts, which is really cool.
Yep.
And if you are so inclined, keep up to date with all of our stuff on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Horror People Pod, and you can find us on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROBLE People's Podcast. You can also find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop.
Precisely. Yes. Yeah.
Everything. I think that's it. Other than that, have a fantastic rest of your week, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Adios, horror bees.
Bye, guys.